Thank you very much, George, and Sanibonani. That's how we greet in this part of the world. That means I see you. I see your hopes, I see your dreams, I see your aspirations. I also see your struggles. I see your ancestors as well. I recognize as well the umbilical cord that cut you from your mother, that connected your mother from her mother. And just even that is a sign of us being interconnected because each one of us was connected to the ones that came before us through this umbilical cord. So, Sanibona. Namo Wadasa Bhagavato. Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Wadasa Bhagavato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Wadasa Bhagavato Sama Sambuddhasa. Just inviting all of us to really connect to this sacred space, this space created by Sangha Life. A gentle invitation for you to really alive and arrive in this moment. Considering this moment, this present, as a gift. The moment that cannot be repeated, for we only have this one breath for now. Inviting you to fully inhabit your body and allow your body to really welcome you home. Feeling the soles of her feet touching the floor and also being aware of the contact between the soles and the shoes you're wearing. And just for this moment, allowing yourself to really pause and become aware of that contact as if it's the first time you have that awareness of that contact. Pausing into that and really relaxing and allowing Mother Earth to support us. Also inviting you to become aware of the contact between your buttocks and the chair or the surface you're sitting on. Just bringing all your attention to that contact and really feeling it, how it is to just have all your attention on that contact. What sensations are coming up for you, allowing your back to support you, and even imagining each and every vertebrae being stacked nicely together and really giving you this back that's upright, allowing you that noble posture, allowing your shoulders to really drop, and just feeling into how it is from your soles that are touching the floor, your buttocks touching the chair, this upright back and relaxed shoulders. How is it to really have your body really welcoming you and you coming and meeting your body and fully inhabiting this body? Allowing your facial muscles to relax. You might even slightly open your mouth and allowing your jaw to drop a bit, softening your eyes, and just feeling into this present moment, allowing this complete pause into the now, into this present. And as you're starting to really fully pause, getting in touch with each and every muscle of your body, really relaxing, nowhere to rush to, nothing to do at this moment, just being aware of this body that's ever present, the truth teller that really tells us how it is in this moment. Allowing the breath to connect the mind and the body. If not this breath, then what? Just slowly paying attention to one breath at a time. Being aware as you breathe in, the air as it comes into your nostrils, and as you breathe out, becoming aware of the out-breath, caressing your lips and just feeling that heat as you're breathing out. Taking in a couple of deep breaths in, fully filling your lungs, and as you breathe out, feeling yourself even relaxing more. Just being aware of this breath, having this cyclical movement, coming in, infusing the body with all the energy that is required. And as you take out the breath, even relaxing you more. Just for this moment, just paying attention to this breathing. I'm breathing in, I'm breathing out. I'm breathing in, I'm breathing out. As thoughts come, Gently becoming aware of the thoughts and just letting the thoughts go. Watching your thoughts as they come and go without creating a story, but just the awareness that I am this thinking body. I am this feeling body. Feelings will come and go. Just the awareness, oh, another feeling, another emotion. Just let it go. Knowing that thoughts and emotions come and go. That is their nature. And yet the body, the truth teller, is always here. Just tracking in how it is with the body, allowing whatever needs to rise, and just the curiosity of seeing the rising and falling of things. No judgment, no story, just sitting with what is and how it is. When your mind wanders, using the breath as the focus of your attention, bring your focus back to the breathing. I'm breathing in, I'm breathing out. And there's thoughts coming out of those thoughts and just letting them go their way. Coming back home to this body. Bringing back your attention to the breath. Allowing yourself to be fully in touch with your legs, Fully sensing your legs, paying all the attention to the legs. And then focusing on your arms, fully sensing your arms. Sensing your legs and your arms together at the same time. How is it just to be aware of your arms and your legs? Adding listening to the sounds around you, listening to the sound of my voice, deeply tuning in and listening deeply to the sound of your heart beating, paying attention to the sound of your breath. And slowly opening your eyes, slowly looking up, looking around the room where you're in, and looking at the screen, seeing this lovely tapestry of everyone. Thank you very much for your practice. When we say thank you, we say enkosi. That means I see the greatness in all of you. And in the spirit of Ubuntu, we say I see myself in all of you. And in the spirit of this ancient African wisdom, as I'm seeing myself in you, I feel the connection, the togetherness. And when that happens, that means I can do no harm. Because to harm you would be harming myself. As then I see you, I wish for you all the best. I can see that, like me, you have your hopes. Just like me, you have your dreams. And just like me, you have your aspirations. So what Ubuntu says as Thich Nhat Hanh talks about interbeingness. This is the spirit that I am because we are. I am because we are. And I can never be fully me if you are not fully who you are destined to be. So, this spirit of Ubuntu, it's about the acts of loving kindness. It is the language of love. seeing love even in the unlovable, and being able to sit with what is not wanted, and being able to allow, to accept. And as we do that, this allows us to be fully in the moment, to start connecting with myself and remembering different parts of who I am and my soul. And just being able, with mindfulness, to cultivate wisdom and to cultivate compassion. This allows us to have the intimacy with all things. And this starts then to help us to transcend the mystery, to transcend the fallacy of being separate. Because when I see you as separate from me, it's easy for me to dehumanize you and hurt you. So in the spirit of Ubuntu, the spirit of loving kindness, the spirit of Karuna, compassion, I find something in you that resembles me, such that you become an extension of who I am. And as I'm thinking about this interconnectedness, I started off our practice with talking about the umbilical cord. In the representation of the African tradition, this is so significant in connecting all of us and connecting us with Mother Nature. When a child is born in Africa, when the umbilical cord falls, this is buried in the ground, connecting the human being to Mother Nature. And we have so much to learn in terms of interbeingness, in terms of interconnection from nature. Just thinking about the mushrooms and the fungus that grows and we see on top of the ground. And yet when we look deeper to what we do not see underground, the mycelia of these mushrooms, these fungus, they connect with other plants. They communicate. They share nutrients. And there's no distinction that you are this kind of a plant. But in the spirit of Ubuntu, in the spirit of compassion, in the spirit of loving kindness, Mother Nature has got so much to show us in terms of being connected. And then that means all sentient beings, seen or unseen, known or unknown, are treated with this, with respect and dignity. And we start to see the divine and become intimate with everything. So what is this ancient African wisdom of Ubuntu? In my language, Ubuntu means umntu ngumntu ngabantu. I am because we are. I can never be fully who I am if you are not fully who you are. In the words of our late President Nelson Mandela, when he talked about Ubuntu, he said, Ubuntu is the profound sense that we are only human through the humanity of others. That if we are to accomplish anything in this world, it will in equal measure be due to the work and the achievement of others. And if you think about that and link that to the Buddhist texts, this talks about anatta, non-self. Ubuntu is the practice of anatta. This is not self. This is not me. I am not my emotions. I'm not my thoughts. I'm not this body. And then when we practice mindfulness of the body, this is what helps us to start to attach to this body, to start to realize that this body is an aging body. It's a body that is not the same as it was maybe 20 years ago. And then, as we start to recognize that I do not idolize this body, it's to help me to be fully in this moment. We start to let go bit by bit, and we start to understand anicca. We start to understand the impermanence of things. And yet, the souls that are connected in the spirit of Ubuntu continue to be connected like that. The day before yesterday, I just came back from Rwanda. It's the time. 29th anniversary of commemorating the genocide on the 7th of April. I went to the Genocide Museum and just could feel the body, feeling the pain, feeling this separatedness that separated people. And I was not aware that in Rwanda, they also talk about Ubuntu. When I got to the museum, the first thing I realized was Ubumuntu, and here we call it Ubuntu. I asked them, may I please take a photo of that? And they allowed me to. And what they say about this Ubumuntu, this is the greatness of heart. Ubumuntu means humanity, goodness, generosity, and kindness. A person who has Ubumuntu is someone who has greatness of the heart. In the context of the genocide against the Tutsi, Ubumuntu refers to those who selflessly risk their lives to rescue or help those who were persecuted. We can all be champions of humanity by standing against division wherever we live. And when we start to connect in this manner. We then start to transcend the constructs that separate us from each other. We start to recognize that actually, all of us, when we bleed, our blood is red. And yet, what we focus mainly on are these things, these constructs that divide us. So if we're looking at the Brahma Viharas, we look at metta. I love to practice the bowing practice at the Kuan Yin Dhammas. And as we practice the bowing, it's laying your all, it's humbling yourself, it's about being of service to others. And that's when we totally forget me, myself, and I. And we start to look at how can I be of service? Where am I called to show those random acts of loving kindness? How do I extend the love I have for those who close by? Slowly extending that to neutral people, people I meet on the road, a simple smile, a simple saying, Sawubona, I see you, and seeing the person in the eye, the doorway to the soul of another human being. Such small acts of seeing others and just the feeling and the experience of being seen yourself. How do you feel when someone fully sees you and hears you? These are simple acts of loving kindness and not bringing in material things. A simple smile, a simple connection with the eyes, a simple silent speech. I see what you're going through. And as your heart is going through these struggles, so is mine in the spirit of Ubuntu. And as we get interconnected, we then can achieve so much. There's an African proverb that says, if you want to walk fast, walk alone. If you want to walk far, walk together. So in essence, as we apply Ubuntu, loving kindness and compassion, this allows us that pause that Viktor Frankl talks about. This allows us that nanosecond to pause and become aware. What is the stimuli in the environment? And as I pause, apply mindfulness, become aware moment to moment, what's arising, what's falling, then I'm able to choose an appropriate response. A response that helps me to to have the wise action, a response that allows me to have mindful dialogue and apply wise speech. And as we do that and think about the fourth noble truth, then we're able to touch and taste nirvana by connecting with others and being able to ensure that however we are with the others, we consciously bring love, we consciously don't have any harm, we consciously are having the wise speech that makes the others to feel that I matter too. As this person is practicing the wise speech, I'm also seeing myself in them. This is an act of allowing yourself to pause and take that breath, the breath of life that is freely given, and knowing that this is the breath that is shared amongst us as human beings. This is the breath that through loving kindness, Mother Nature makes sure that through the trees, we get the much needed oxygen. And Mother Nature takes on the carbon dioxide that we breathe out, cleansing the environment. This is an act of what I would call in my language an inner ether, an act of the yin yang, an act of creating harmony and balance, an act of servicing the better good of the whole. Instead of thinking about myself and my interests. So, in the spirit of Ubuntu, if we think about this, we say it takes a village to raise a child. No child in a village can be hungry. Because that child does not necessarily just belong to the biological parents. And we even take this further and become dramatic about it and say that if a child does not feel the warmth of a village, that child will burn the village in order to feel its warmth. Doesn't have to be that dramatic, but true loving kindness, true compassion, true karuna, through the opening of the heart and the feeling of the heart. Because we've lived in a world where we close our hearts such that we block the pain and the suffering of the world. Whereas if each one can just do a simple act of kindness, how different would this planet that we call the Earth be like? And in that, in the spirit of connection, when Nelson Mandela and his comrades were incarcerated, they had a spirit of each one teach one, where they would share information, preparing them when they get out of the prison life and take over this country. And through that interconnectedness, and as we learn together, we even have more that we can come up with in terms of great ideas. And as I look at you once more, I'm seeing myself in each and every one of you and feeling the heartbeat of each one of you as I see you across the waves. We breathe the same air, we have the same blood. What is it that allows us to separate from each other and see the other as not me? And then when I start doing that, I can see myself developing this ill will and then taking it further to harming. What is not me? What is not mine? What is not close to me? And as we sit with this, an invitation I'd like to invite you to is to really think about a time when you felt seen, and fully heard by another person at your moment when you felt that this is it, and yet someone had compassion, someone could show loving kindness. So, inviting you to bring about that experience, fully inhabiting the experience of being seen, of being heard, allowing yourself to fully go back to that experience. As you recall that experience, what are you in touch with in this moment? What's important for you? What is that bringing up for you? And what are you noticing in your body? Just staying with that and really being with how it is to be seen and heard. And as you are with that, allowing the body to bring up for you an intention as you go about in the world. How do you intend to see and hear others, listening deeply and tuning in? What are you called to be in the service of others? Inkosi, I see the greatness in all of you. Sanibonani. We will now open to any reflections, any questions, and any sharing of what's up for you in this moment. Oh, Lydia is asking about this basket of many colors. This is from the Ndebele tradition up north, very artistic part of South Africa, and using shapes and to show interconnectedness. And also different colors, very bright colors, to bring about how to be together in a joyful manner. Thank you. So, whoever would like to speak, if you can go to reactions and raise your hand. Ellen, please unmute yourself and share.
Good morning. I just want to say thank you so much. Every word you said touched my heart, my soul, and thank you for bringing us all together in such beauty and truth.
Hetty.
Ngusi, and thank you, Sangalife. This is my first visit to you, and I was touched. I have a I was how the service comes with a heart which tends to slice closed, but it's never closed. There's a crack in my heart, so I feel I needed to say that because I sometimes feel the opposite. But while I'm here, thinking of the interconnectedness and the beautiful Ubuntu, which I'm so in love with now. And I will meditate. I do meditate, and thank you for this evening. Thank you.
Is it Zefa? Please, if you could unmute. Thank you.
Yes, hello. Thank you so much. This was really a wonderful sharing of your practice. It was it brought up many things, but what I wanted to share is that when you were when thinking about the when meditating on the idea of feeling sane, feeling heard, I let myself sort of touch on a bit of the tension, the anxiety that comes up about that. And instead of just, you know, seeing it as a simple experience of relaxation and appreciation for that experience of being seen and heard and sane and safe. There's a tension going into that for some reason, and I allowed myself to sort of look at that. And I guess it's the vulnerability, because it was exactly the same tension I felt when you talked about being on the receiving end of hearing someone, of really deeply listening to someone who needs that sense of safety and sanity and being heard. And that deep listening, that idea of deeply and joyfully showing up to listen, also has a tension of vulnerability to it, of feeling, you know, and I guess I'm working on that, because I get those opportunities to do both every day, and I do see more and more as time goes on this sense of looking forward to it as opposed to feeling anxious beforehand, because once I'm in it, I can be there, but it's that anxious feeling beforehand I think I need to look a little bit at. And I was just wondering if that's something you've experienced.
Thank you, Zephyr, for that, and thank you for your practice and the courage of staying with the tension. And my encouragement is to continue with being with that, because what I'm getting is that that seems to be actually your practice, and staying with that eases it a bit. And what I like is you not pushing it away or trying to want things to be any other way. Just the curiosity of sitting with that and becoming curious and finding how this changes. Because even in that, that's the teaching of Anicca. How things don't stay the same. Unlike doing what we love to do as human beings or doings, trying to fix everything. How it is to just sit with that and say, oh, now this tension has moved to here. When I breathe into that, this is what happens. Just that curiosity, as if you meeting each and every experience for the first time. And that's the beauty of this work, of actually trying to navigate uncertainty and the unknown with dignity. And as we do that, whatever seemed to be big or to be too much, you start to become, you know, have this joke, have this humor. What was it that I was so fearful of? Thank you. Tina? Tina, we can't hear the sound. I'm not sure about the others, but we can hear you.
Tina, just a suggestion, if you want, you can try to type your question into the chat, and then Lubuntu can read it, if that works for you.
Anyone else, as we're waiting for Tina to type her question or comment?
Any more questions or reflections?
Thank you, David, for your question. The question is, how does the Enneagram and the Diamond approach pertain to what I mentioned today? And as I am talking about that, I've just had a blackout. There's a storm. Fortunately, can you hear me? Wonderful. So with the Enneagram, for me, the Enneagram helps in terms of becoming aware and applying mindfulness to the thoughts, to the emotions, to the sensations, and allowing us to integrate all of who we are and becoming aware of intention and action. And if we look about that, becoming aware as well of the consequent, and if I think about the Buddhism and the Buddhist texts, it's about thinking about the karma. If I'm thinking about us as connecting with others, it's about how do I connect with others, being aware of what my impact is to others and in the world. And the Diamond approach is very intricate and deep. And for me, it's about that connection to the true nature, to the soul of who you are, and allowing us to transcend beyond the conditioning of how we are in the world. And as we connect to the true nature, to the essence, to the soul, and come from that pure, from that innocent nature, that is the kind of nature that knows no division. So it does connect us. And if I'm thinking about my ancient kind of culture of Ubuntu, it's about that. How do we go back to the basic and not just think about these kind of walls, mortar and brick, but know that behind each and every connection, there is a heartbeat and there is blood that is pumping. I see there's another question. What is this one saying? Can you help me?
You want me to read it to you? It's from Judith.
Please, please.
It asks, how do you integrate the teaching of interbeing with abuse or even small emotional blackmail? For if I'm emotionally blackmailed to do something for another, I need to draw a boundary. Thank you.
And that's very true. Ubuntu is not about laying yourself. It's about being self-full. And it's not about allowing yourself to be a doormat, but it's how we look at the highest order of thing, the better of the whole. And as we connect and do things, all of us together, then we are in service of the whole. And what happens, for instance, if I think about one tribe in Zambia, the Bapemba tribe, they use this so nicely in terms of integrating everyone in the society. For instance, the culture there in practicing Ubuntu, what they do, if for instance there's someone in the society who is some kind of a menace to the society, a troublemaker, what they would do, they would have this community kind of ritual or a celebration where they would have a circle, and then everyone of the village coming together, and the person who is a troublemaker is in the middle of the circle. And what people do, they look for the goodness in this person. And the young and the old, they come in, they say and point out the goodness that the person has. And after that, there is a feast to celebrate this person instead of focusing on the bed that the person has. And then when people somehow abuse the trust of the community, then there is what is called inkundla, or the traditional kind of courts that would help in terms of teaching the person how to be with others for the service of the good. So it's that kind of a culture that helps others to see the goodness, and which in a sense I'm thinking about appreciative inquiry, where we apply appreciative inquiry and have this kind of circles of appreciative dialogues amongst each other. And that's where it helps us, because even when things are not working, when there is pain, when people are going through sorrow or people are happy, there's always sing and dance. Singing and dancing together to bring about peace, to relieve the pain, and singing and dancing together to rejoice and celebrate each other. Joanne, I see your question. Is there anything in your tradition that speaks to the why of the sense of separated, of separateness? You know, I think more than anything, it's about the modeling. Because we grow up with this practice. For instance, I remember when I was growing up, if, for instance, in the evening you find you are about to make a cup of tea and you find that you've run out of sugar, it's such a common thing to send a child to your next door neighbor to ask for sugar. Or, for instance, the modeling, another one is there is what we call ilima, where people form these cooperatives that they would be planting together, go to someone's field, plant that field, move to another one. And when it's harvesting time, we all harvest together and have this feast of celebrating the harvest. So the why really is looked at how through, for instance, the kind of advancement and through the move towards the cities, people are starting to lose this sense of Ubuntu. And because now we are in these small areas that are not like villages, we start now to identify specific areas as being mine. And then that's when we are starting to see that this spirit of Ubuntu is being eroded. I notice you, Jane, your hand is up.
At first I want to say everything you've said really resonates very deeply with me, and I thank you. I'm really curious if you have thoughts on how do we develop that sense of community, village, whatever you want to call it, in America, where I live. You don't see that, and it would be so healing and amazing if more of us could come together. Just wondering if you have any thoughts on how to kind of build that or encourage it, I guess. I don't know what words I want to say, but thank you, really. I wish you good health. I love everything you said and really touched me deeply, so thank you.
I would say, Jane, what I've noticed when I have come to teach or practice in the US, I've noticed some communities starting to form some eco kind of community living, where you find people living together, and at times they would be cooking together. They would be taking what they just need for the livelihood instead of having all the material things. And actually, if I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking about the first people of South Africa, the Sun people. When the Sun people were hunting, they would hunt and take only what they required to tend to their welfare needs and leave whatever else for others. So I think it's starting as well in small communities. And it's to encourage each other and see what is it that we could learn from this, and what do we want to pass on to the younger generations. Not sure whether I've answered you or not. Thank you. Sophia is asking, could you speak more about, I cannot be fully me if you are not fully we are destined to be. How can we be who we are destined to be? For me, if I even think about Bishop Desmond Tutu, when he refers to this Ubuntu, he talks about how Ubuntu is about the goodwill towards others. And where, I remember during this, the height of the struggle in South Africa for liberation, there was this way of being that is an injury to one is an injury to all. That's where we take whatever happens to another, this pain is taken collectively, such that when we now bring healing, healing is done in a collective manner. If you're thinking about the truth and the reconciliation process in South Africa, that was exactly around that. How do we, as this nation that has gone through these atrocities, this suffering, how then do we start to heal together? So what then this says is there is a kind of moving away from I-centrism to moving to the we-centrism and looking at whatever we're doing in terms of putting everything together. I'm just feeling the wind blowing and yeah, and just feeling being drawn out there, and feels like Mother Nature is calling and saying, I'm also part of that. I am that too. George, we have 4 minutes. I'd like to hand over to you for some closing or any announcements that you might have. And thank you, everyone. Enkosi kakhulu.
Well, thank you, Nubuntu, and thank you all for participating and for being here. I'm just putting some info into the chat. One thing I would like to, because some brand new people in the Sangha Life community here tonight or today, or it's tonight for me in Portugal, it's probably day for most of you. We have this online going connection within the webpage. So if you'd like to connect with us and stay connected, just visit the webpage and click on it. There's Sangha for the entire world. And we can, I think of that as a way of, you know, taking this momentum into and this practice into a wider kind of space. If we can't be all together physically, and we can from time to time be on a screen, which is good enough, it's one of the good things of tech. Well, at least we can keep on this practice by just relaying to each other. I was listening to Nubuntu and to most of your questions, and there were tons and millions of questions coming into my head. And I would like to explore that because there's not time and space here. I was born in Africa, and I can't say I'm an African because I left Africa when I was 7. And I very recently became aware of the violent history in which I was born. And that had an enormous impact on me. So this is a kind of a have an inquiry that I've been keeping to myself, and I would like to expand it. So, you know, if you have questions like this, questions about your practice, you'd like to share with other people throughout the world, then just please feel free. And yeah, there's not much more I would like to say. I would just like to thank Nubuntu again very much. I know that you've been traveling, and there was this was just in the midst of the traveling and having time to rest and to pause. So this, we're deeply grateful for your presence and for your teachings. Deeply grateful for the presence of each and every one of you, and hope that we can see each other again very soon. So if you would like to unmute and say goodbye in your language and say something, please feel free to do that now.
Thank you. Peace and love and gratitude to everyone.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Nubuntu.
Thank you, George.
Thank you, everyone. Go well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
George, from Lainé in near to the Moulin.
Oh, Lainé, yeah. Nice to see you. This is great.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.